I'm not making this up. These are real.
Okay.
Who has a safety deposit box full of money and 6 passports and a gun? Who has a bank account number in their hip?
I come in here, and the first thing I'm doing is I'm catching the sight lines and looking for an exit.
I see the exit sign, too. I'm not worried. I mean, you were shot. People do all kinds of weird and amazing stuff when they're scared.
I can tell you the license plate numbers of all 6 cars outside. I can tell you that our waitress is left-handed and the guy sitting up at the counter weighs 215 pounds and knows how to handle himself. I know the best place to look for a gun is the cab of the gray truck outside. And at this altitude, I can run flat out for a half mile before my hands start shaking. Now, why would I know that? How can I know that and not know who I am?
Welcome to
Real
the
Game Movie
Podcast. This is
Andrew.
This is Douglas.
On vacation, I did
sometime. This is Damien.
Yes.
That was a quick vacation. I thought it was a whole month. Has it been that long?
It was.
Wow.
It's now September. So.
Tonight we're drinking Heineken.
We're drinking a lot of Heineken.
Official sponsor of Champions League.
Yeah, because Champions League starting back in a couple of
And
weeks.
By the way, just, you know, throwing it out there, Heineken, guys, you could totally be the official sponsor of the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
We will drink you every week.
We would call it. Hey, exactly. We'll drink you every week. We'll tell people how much we love you. And it could be called the Heineken or Heineken Presents. Tom.
And we could tie it into like a Blue Velvet thing because the character in Blue Velvet
he loves Heineken, yeah.
Or we could get Red Stripe Light to sponsor us so that you guys would be miserable every week. Dragonstone.
I've actually never had Dragonstone before.
That's funny because I have.
I've had Guinness and I didn't really like Guinness.
I love Guinness. But it has to be at the right temperature. If it's too cold, rubbish.
Yeah, these are the.
But like.
I love when beer thaw gets here.
Yeah, man.
They're like, hot, this tastes like shit. Too cold, still shit. You just have to get with this temperature on this night when all the stars align.
Anyway.
This was in the freezer, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Wow.
For around like 3 hours.
I know. Wow.
Anyways, what we watched this week? Damien, you've been gone a long time. What have you been watching?
A lot of shit. So I've been updating my HD library with classic movies like Independence Day.
You Roland Emmerich fan.
Right. And like Eraser.
Oh!
It's also so glorious. But I won't be talking about the questionable movies to some. I love them all, but I'll talk about those that are awesome to all. Eastern Promises.
Oh, yeah.
And that movie.
That's some good stuff.
A movie is something else. I mean, I don't know how he does it. Like, all the movies that guy's in, he finds...
Vigo.
He finds some way to make himself different. In all his movies. Because he doesn't remind me of, like I said, the character in Lord of the Rings, in his art. Like, all of his movies, well, with the exception of Hidalgo, which was a stupid idea. The one with the horse.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I don't think that movie was that bad.
Alright. So minus Andrew, everyone else thinks that movie. It's horrible. Also got History of Violence, which again, terrific.
I love that movie so much.
Viggo, has he won Best Actor in anything?
I'm not sure.
I don't think he has.
I think hasn't he won something over there at those Oscar awards?
I don't think so.
Let's double check.
I saw MacGruber.
Is it as horrible as they say it is?
Hold on. Before you go any further, he's been nominated for one Oscar with Eastern Promises, and that's it.
And what year was that? Like 2008?
It was Daniel Day-Lewis for...
Oh, shit.
What do you say? You can't hate on that one.
I hate the movie, but his performance.
You can check out the Golden Globes.
There wasn't
sure he has got one of Golden Globes by now. No, he was only nominated for Eastern Promises.
Well, Viggo.
Which I'm sure went to Daniel Day-Lewis.
Well, Viggo, you're number one in my book. I saw 8mm, which reminded me that...
I remember when there was a time when I was really into Nick Cage,
and I
wanted to watch that movie so much.
He screwed. That guy could act. That movie's intense.
Joaquin Phoenix
is in it,
right.
Yeah.
That's
I am no crazy Phoenix.
He was crazy from in that movie. You could see where he was headed.
So now that you bring up Nick Cage and that guy, you know, him back then on the film stage, they posted this iconographic, whatever the fuck they call it.
Infographic.
About Nicolas Cage, you know, he has three sections. Prestige, you know, where he's with an acclaimed director doing something special. Paycheck, when he's doing those movies. And Passion. So you see films like Kick-Ass and Vampire Kisses is Passion. Paycheck, you see Con Air, City of Angels, National Treasure. Prestige, we have Adaptation, Las Vegas and Raising Arizona. I saw it today and I thought it was a really
cool thing. So what is the one in the middle? What's the Convergence?
Face
Off. It's the one that has everything.
Prestige, really? Would you call John Woo Prestige?
You guys are
I don't think so. After Mission Impossible 2, I don't think you could call John Woo anything but shit.
Hey, fuck you. That bike scene
was horrible.
when Andrew was 12 and saw the movie for the first time, yes, I agree.
That bike scene was tremendous.
When I watched it again, when I got it on Blu-ray, Andrew disagrees completely.
First of all, you got Mission Impossible on Blu-ray.
Actually,
which is a bad idea.
I like the first and the
third
movie.
None of those
movie.
Movies are actually
I
good.
Love the first and the third movie.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
What do you think of Star Trek? The new Star Trek?
I love that movie.
How can you like the new Star Trek, love the new Star Trek, and not love MI3?
Because MI3, the bad guy is Philip Seymour Hoffman. That's the worst bad guy in history.
Eric Bana.
In history.
In Star Trek, Eric Bana was a regular dude on a mining ship.
Yeah, but that mining ship was awesome. That what they were fighting was the mining ship, not Eric Bana. What he was fighting in MI3 was Philip Seymour Hoffman for some chick no one cares about. First of all, why is he married? Who thought that was a good idea? Right? Isn't that part of the spy code by now? You can't get married. Doesn't that always lead to trouble? Has it ever worked out? Tell me one spy movie where someone got married and it worked out. Or looked some chick. All James Bond bitches die. Or him leave them somewhere. Born him be like a girl for like 3 seconds and she was shot in the face. I mean, it's just... Mission Impossible is an action movie. And in terms of action, the second one had the most of it. So if you're going to judge it based on its action, second one is probably the best one that John Woo did. But neither one that good. I just don't understand why people look on those movies in high regards. The first one had very little action. But it had that one iconic scene of the guy falling through the roof. The second one had the most action. All the action was generic, with the exception of that bike scene.
which was super generic.
And the third one,
what were we talking about before Mission we got to MA?
J.J. Abrams.
Right, he asked me if I like Star Trek for some strange reason.
No, you were talking about the movie.
Nick Cage. Well, we were talking about 8mm and we went off on the Nick Cage tangent.
Yeah, so 8mm.
Right, great. What else did I say? I said MacGruber, I said 8mm. I saw Letters to Juliet, which the less said, the better. If you have a vagina, you will love that movie. If you do not, do not watch that movie. That movie is a bad idea for any man. Don't even watch it with your girlfriend. It don't make sense. Because you're going to set a new high watermark that your ass will never be able to hit. I mean, never. You could be Jesus, you're not needing this watermark. This movie is... I hope some guy wrote it and was like high on cocaine when he wrote it. Cause that movie, sweet mercy. What else have I seen? It's a lot of series. Louis. Have we talked about Louis on this
podcast? I spoke about Louis, yes.
Louis is tremendous.
It's horrible.
Did you like Life with Louis?
Lucky Louis.
Oh, whatever, yes.
I love Lucky Louis.
Okay. That makes sense.
Right.
That makes perfect
sense. I mean, my bias is really, really up there. And, like, even without the bias, I don't see anybody watching this that have any sense of humor and not liking it. Because he starts off with a stand-up bit, and then somehow it rolls into, like, the regular life portion of the show.
The sketch.
And it's so good. I mean, just tremendous. What else? That there's this shitty anime that Andrew gave me about a boat. Darker than black?
Black Lagoon.
Black Lagoon, right.
Talk about Sardine.
Yeah, but I actually went through and watched it to the end. Andrew. Andrew. Let me tell you how anime are supposed to work. They should lead up to something awesome. Right? Just on principle. They have to lead up to something. There must be something that is so awesome that is always coming. Right? Right? Just the expectation that you know eventually it's going to get. Like, even if it started out awesome, you need to know that there is more awesome somewhere down the road. Kenshin does it. DBZ does it. Bleach. Almost all of them do it, right? Even Naruto, 9 million episodes later. And what's the one with the stretchy guy?
One Piece.
Right. They at least allude to something awesome coming. But this show, no. All of them are one-off. And by the time you get to the end, you just start... Why did I watch this? What? You know, you cut nothing. It's like Lost. No, I know why you like Lost. And nothing happens. At least Lost had some build up and then we went off into some dark place that everyone now hates.
Lost is awesome.
Lost is the only show that now that the DVDs are coming out, I hear people going, I've seen all of it. I don't think I need to watch it again. No, you tell me one other series that was beloved, that the second DVD hit, people were losing their shit. Right? It's the only... I'm like, oh, so you watched Lost? Yeah, you know the DVD is coming up. Yeah, but I don't think I need to.
I don't know which Lost fan you're talking about.
I don't think I need to watch. Are you here? I'll get it down the road.
Did you see that news piece on, I think it was Slash Film, about... this theatre, I can't remember where it is, I think it's in London, which was going to play a straight Lost marathon the entire six seasons with like breaks between seasons. Thank you. And
yeah, but there's crazy people. What I did read was a lot of these movies companies are complaining that DVD sales are going down. And that there was a time you could make any movie regardless of quality, and it would make back its money just on DVD sales. You're almost guaranteed.
Because of rentals?
No, sales. People used to buy the shit out of DVDs. Blu-ray isn't making up, and the numbers on DVD sales are dropping. And when they said that, I stopped and I said, there must be something else. I mean, yeah, the depression, but people have been buying movie tickets like crazy. Avatar made trillions of dollars. Dark Knight made trillions of dollars. What is it that is leading to this? I mean, people, the Americans love spending money. Right? This is it's like the first rule.
Spend.
And so I looked where the DVD sales started to dip. Remember in 2007 when they remade everything, like Bewitched, all of that shit? That is where DVD sales started to dip. And it continued to dip all throughout. And I went, something must be wrong. Because Dark Knight broke records. Avatar came out like a month later and broke all of. Where is the disconnect? Like, Pixar movies keep selling more. What isn't selling? Turns out, shitty movies that they make. Everyone used to buy DVDs because there was always something to like. I mean, everyone didn't like the same stuff. Everyone had a DVD player. And you could always find something right, to buy.
You know, there's always that one guy who'd go for right. like, straight for a video, no. Steven Seagal
right.
movie.
And DVD did something that nothing else did. DVD freed people from the tyranny of tapes. So people went back and bought all kinds of shit when DVD came out. But no one is doing the same with Blu-ray. Well, not at the same rate. So they are complaining. And I look back. And we complain that there's a lot of shitty movies that come out, but if you go back from 2008 and up, there is a lot. I mean, staggering amount of shitty movies. And I was looking at like the ratings, like the average ratings of the last 3 years, with the exception of the great movies. And like Metacritic, there's so many movies that are twos and threes and four. And I'm not even talking about like obvious horrible movies like Transformers 2. I'm just talking about the regular run-of-the-mill. I mean, Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic use reviews from all over. But by and large, it gives you a decent sense. You might not agree for the most part. But those reviews are coming from somewhere. So usually equals out. And
the fanboys.
There is so much shit. So much shit. I'm happy that no one is spending their money to watch any of this shit. Yes, supposedly good movies. I say supposedly because a lot of them haven't come out here. Like Scott Pilgrim made no money. Edgar Wright will be okay. It's not like
he has Ant-Man right, to work
Michael out. Cera is, if it kills his career, it's about damn time. But sometimes the good just have to suffer. I mean, great movies made money. Toy Story made money. Batman made money. Even Avatar, I don't like it, but a lot of people do. That made money. When you put out shitty movies, it shouldn't make money. That's how the market is supposed to work. And I'm glad that this is forcing their hands. So now that they're working with more of the streaming networks, YouTube, Netflix, Apple.
They're still nowhere near where they need to be though.
Yeah, but this is, they're being pushed. Yeah. They finally realized that how they're doing things now isn't going to work.
So yeah, that's all you watch this week.
That's what we're talking about.
So Douglas, what did you watch this week?
Okay, I'm gonna be good to you because unlike Damien, I didn't watch very much this week. I have continued with my
Burn Notice marathon. I'm now a little bit more than halfway through the second season. And this show is reminiscent of a Chuck kind of love. Because even at the end of the first season, it's like, well, it's interesting, I want to see more, but I'm not sure if I really like it that much. But now it's getting to the point where, you know, I kind of like it. I'm pretty happy with where it's going, and I like the story and stuff.
My name is Michael Austin. I like his narration. Even when he's doing ludicrous shit.
I know, and I love, I was actually talking to Andrew about this, his... And Andrew actually brought this up, that his accents are so horrible.
Yes.
But I just love them. I think they're so hilarious.
I'm waiting for the episode. They need to do it. I know they're going to
Jamaican accent.
Where he's going to have to play a Jamaican.
I'd pay more.
But no. I actually...
Maybe we should write it.
For this show, I noticed, because Andrew kept saying to me, you have to go beyond like episode 5 because it gets better. And I actually noticed that there was a direct correlation between the show getting so much better and a specific person in the show losing a ridiculous accent. Oh, Fiona, your Irish is not so good.
None of your accents. Chuck Finley, though.
He is. I love Chuck, him in this show.
I won't call him, but he is Chuck Finley.
How is he not Ash?
Trust me. Bruce Campbell, I loved him to death from before, but he just cements that love, you know, with this show. It's really good.
He's chopping.
Yeah.
Whatever. So good. I like the mother too.
The mother is good. She's good. By the way, I'm sure it could just easily be that he shaved off his mustache. Mm-hmm. But did they change the actor that was Mike's brother from the first few episodes to then he like took a long break and then he came back
I remember him looking the same. Isn't he the same person?
I don't know, but he looks a little bit different. It could have just been that he shaved off his
goatee. We've seen that character now.
Right. He showed up a few episodes ago in the fourth season.
Was he in the fourth season at all?
He was there to try and convince his mother to move to somewhere.
Again? Shit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I forget.
And he had the stripper wife.
Dude! I don't know anything about a stripper wife.
It's in the fourth season. Andrew doesn't remember. That's how important it is.
Damn it!
I tried to get there, you'd have forgotten we said that.
Yeah, bullshit. I started season one maybe a week ago. I'm gonna get there by the end of next week.
Let me guess. Standard diff. You dirty mother.
Anything else, Douglas?
Did I mention Burn Notice? That show's awesome.
Yes, it is. Could have told you that.
Yeah.
Covert Affairs,
not so much, yeah. Luckily for USA, this is not Strike 2. You have hit a home run with this one.
Have you seen Psych?
I haven't, but it looks very good.
That's Strike 2.
Like, I was about to say, because I watched one episode and didn't like it at all. But from, and I know this is just PR, but from the ads and the tiny clips that I see on TV every once in a while, it looks like it could be good.
Like,
and it's lasted long enough for it to be clear that people like it.
Yeah.
You know?
People watch Monk years after it was.
That's another one.
There was one show that I really loved on USA, and then it was clear that they shot all the writers. They had the show The 4400.
I don't know
about some people who were abducted and then mysteriously returned, and they came back with like some powers. So it was like Heroes for the first. Like the ten episodes are Heroes. When Heroes was kinda sort of good, 4400 was kinda like that. And then after season one ended, they had this big build up for season two. And then it's clear that someone was fired. Someone either left or someone got greedy or died, because season two went like literally into the ground. And then USA went, no, it's too expensive and cannot. No one is watching this shit. I should find the first season though and watch it.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. But USA, not known for. I mean, they have one or two good shows, but they're not known for keeping good shows good for very long. So Burn Notice is a real treat because it's still good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, other than that, I have been watching one other show, and I mentioned it last week, kind of very vaguely, very, you know, mysteriously. I talked about a show with somebody from the Deschanel family in it, and I knew immediately people were going to say, oh, it's Bones, because Emily is in that one, but it's not Bones. It's a crazy fucking television show from way back when. By my boy David Lynch, Twin Peaks.
Why? Why are you doing this?
I don't know why. Because
stop.
Well, the funny thing is, right? This show has taught me why David Lynch loves Kyle MacLachlan so much. I love him in this show. He is an FBI special agent. And
no, I know what Twin Peaks is.
Yeah, well, no. I was about to say the readers. The listeners need to know, you know, what's going on. But no, he's an FBI special agent, and he is. Have you ever seen any of these episodes before?
Yes, I have.
Okay, he's fucking crazy. He's a quirky, weird dude in this
Although
show.
Although you would... I was thinking about myself. Thinking about Douglas. Of course Douglas will love... You love Twin Peaks.
Wait. You see, the thing about Twin Peaks is it's just so odd and it catches you off guard all the time. And I say this with confidence, and yet I say this after only four episodes. I love Kyle MacLachlan. He's great. He shows great acting in this show. And I was actually I'm now at the point where I'm comfortable with his character, because for the first few episodes I was like, this guy, I just don't understand him. Why is he doing the things he's doing? Why is he saying the things he's saying? Why does he believe that dreams will tell him who murdered this lady? You know, what's wrong with him?
Why don't the people in the town shoot him?
Exactly, right? But after a while, I finally got okay with the circumstances, because everybody else is kind of okay. It's a small town, you know. People say hello to you in the
by kind of okay.
Thing,
define kind of okay.
Kind of okay. As
have
in,
you ever met anyone like any of those people?
Whatever.
Anywhere.
Some of those guys are alright. I mean, they have the one crazy son and the fairly crazy psychiatrist and that kind of thing. But all in all, it's not an overly crazy situation.
How much work does a psychiatrist like that get?
I've only reached episode 4 or 5, so I haven't gotten to the real crazy stuff. Okay. Anyway, by the way, I love how the one Native American cop is described as, oh yeah, he's a great tracker.
Andrew, have you ever seen Twin Peaks?
I haven't.
All right, don't watch the series though. Go on YouTube. Look for a montage clip. Anyone, it doesn't matter which one.
Specifically, look for the montage clip that is a dream that tells Kyle MacLachlan why.
Any clip. Right? And if after 5 minutes you're still watching the clip, you've seen all of Twin Peaks.
Let's just say that it involves filming midgets, okay? But anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, okay, so they had
Douglas
me. Like,
loves it.
Like, no, I don't love it. Like, so up to...
No, I'm predicting the future.
Okay, great. Up to the point where I was at.
He loves it, he hates it.
Last episode, right? So the last episode I saw, up to maybe, like... almost the whole way through, I was finally saying, okay, I'm okay with the situation. I understand that this guy's a little bit quirky and the town is one of those, like, you know, small towns, whatever. It's okay. I'm okay. Let's move on. Let's see where the story goes. And then they pull some bullshit. Listen, whenever I watch a show...
You know Lynch directed this, man.
Or a movie, for that matter.
and somebody starts talking to me about secret societies that saves towns from evils, from the evil woods, the evil in the woods.
Right.
There's a presence in the woods, Damien. A presence. Let's just call it evil.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I think all the shows that you've seen that had that line are cribbing from Twin Peaks.
Shit. I'm gonna keep watching, but Lynch, you're on thin ice here. You're gonna have to come good, very good, and you're gonna have to show me who Deschanel is. I need to figure it out. It's Eileen apparently, but I can't.
Explain.
Up to now, I haven't seen that character right. properly.
So
or I don't remember seeing her.
You explain your Dune review. I need some
you
clarification.
Like Dune?
Fuck that movie.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to have to ask you to be a bit specific right now.
Mm-hmm. Did you like the movie?
No.
Why didn't you like the movie? Because you spent a lot of time writing words that didn't explain why you hate the movie.
That movie was really, really boring. And it had too much Lynchianness in the...
Is that what we're calling it? All right, then.
Lynchianness. Okay. All right, I'll remember that one. Let me get my phone. I need to make a note.
David Lynch loves to do things where he has these high concepts where... And I don't know how to say it other than that. Where he feels like he's portraying more than a plot on screen. It's more than just an effect. It's emotion.
Art.
It's art, right? And he does it in such a way that
you
unless you were born inside Lynch's mind,
you just don't
you
get
have
it.
No
man.
Idea
right?
what the hell.
You just
going
don't
on
understand. You just aren't appreciative of the art.
The first half of that movie, I was like, this looks kind of interesting, kind of cool, because we're introduced to all these elements. Like, we have the whole, we have to go to this island and find and control the spice, and we have shield fighting. And
by the way, I just like to say that that movie was actually adapted from a book. So the story, you can't really wrong David Lynch for the story. That's
no,
not
I can't.
No, I'm
no,
calling
I can't.
To David Lynch. First of all, I claim no hate on the book. I haven't read the book. I don't know if
people
how much
love
he,
that book,
how much he used from the book. I don't know.
One of those unfilmable books. Nonsense and more nonsense.
But like, for example, kind of like your feelings on Tron, right? You're like, people like this movie because they're light cycles.
Yes.
Right? I would have loved Dune if there was more
light
shield
cycles.
Fighting.
Oh,
like he introduces this awesome action element, the shield fighting, and after you get the introduction, which is a really cool scene, which is Patrick Stewart fighting Kyle MacLachlan.
Patrick.
You don't see it ever again. I mean, you get a glimpse of it later on, where like during a huge siege, there is one dude who puts on his shield and goes whoosh, and that's it, and nothing really else afterwards. And then you get the idea of him going into this other territory. The I don't even remember what they call them anymore. The people who live out in the desert, in the dune.
Nomads.
And they control the worms and create like there. I've seen so far like 5 Lynch films, and there are points where his insane ideas come in and I just have to throw my hands in the air and so say fuck you, Lynch. That's what Dune was to me.
Yep. Why could you have written that in your review? You don't have to.
Because I typed, and then I said I don't want to read this again. Enter. I don't want to think.
It's your website, though, right? You could have just put in big,
and
big fonts. Fuck this movie. 0 out of 10. And then put PS, if you are a Lynch fan, go ... or see, no, if you're a Lynch fan, see text
what
above.
What do you think of Dune? Have you seen Dune?
Yes.
What do you think of Dune?
By see, do you mean completed?
I'll move on from here. Anyways, what I watch this week? I'm guessing Douglas is done and gone.
Of course, Douglas.
What do you mean Douglas is done?
You said
and gone? What?
The last thing you saw was Twin Peaks. That's what you said.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I understand why you may have thought that,
yes,
that was my
that
last.
Was, yeah.
But it is my last.
Country.
Andrew.
Last week, Douglas and I spoke about classics we hadn't seen. And that prompted
and Douglas did nothing about it.
Yes.
And that prompted me to finally finding my ass in front of the television for more than 3 hours to watch the classic Dr. Zhivago.
The who, what, no? Never even heard of it.
Really?
You've never even
but
heard of
it. But that's a huge movie.
It, like, even in True Romance, they reference it.
Again, never heard of it.
Yeah,
never
Andrew. Don't mention
it. And don't
Andrew
ever use true romance.
Please.
Dr. Zhivago, it's a famous film directed by David Lynch in 1965, starring Omar Sharif.
Stop. Directed by who?
Omar Sharif. Yes, he was an actor.
No. Directed by...
David Lean.
Oh, okay. I thought I said David Lynch.
Sorry.
That would have been impressive if it had been what, 8?
He'd be like,
exactly.
No wonder people love him. That's awesome.
He burned
about,
all his goodwill.
About the Russian Revolution, which occurred during the First World War. It's a romance film while at the same time being a war film. And it's bloody fantastic.
Does it teach you any history at all?
If you know... It's not bloody, sorry. I just mean it's fantastic. Yes, I'm misrepresented. I'm sorry, Douglas.
We are English speakers. colonized
if
by
you don't know anything about the Russian War, the Russian Revolution,
so
it does teach you something.
So if you're Andrew, you knew nothing, did you?
I knew nothing.
Sad little fellow. You know, there's audio versions of history, right?
The funny part about it was I watched this movie with Michelle, my girlfriend, who is a history major. So she sat down the entire time going like, God damn those people, they went and they did that and teaching me all of Russian history. And I'm like, I don't need to know that, that's spoilers.
We're not showing off on the list.
Did she like Inglourious Bastards?
She appreciated it.
She didn't like it.
Fucked with history.
Yes.
That's not how it went. Tarantino, son of a bitch. And then loses. What?
Like, I found it funny watching that movie with her because she like saw the first scene,
mm-hmm,
chapter one,
mm-hmm,
and like went, I don't need to watch any of this. I've seen enough war. And then once chapter one was over, she was into the movie. Once it fucked with history, she was like, I can enjoy it. Anyways, what else I watched? I watched Killers, a new film with Ashton Kutcher and Catherine Heigl.
Shit. Didn't I tell you not to watch? I remember telling you not to watch this.
That
movie
is awesome, huh?
Which, to put in simple terms,
yeah,
to put in simple terms, is is Mr. and Mrs. Smith meet the parents. And not in a good way at all.
That movie is just bad. It is the first 50 minutes of Mr. and Mrs. Smith dragged out to like 2 hours. How long is that movie?
I don't know.
One and a half,
I'm guessing. That's a bad movie.
I think they kill 3 people in that movie.
I believe if a movie is 90 minutes, it has a 50-50 chance of being bad because all bad movies are 90 minutes long.
I'm sorry, what?
When last was there a really bad movie?
A really good movie that was
90 minutes. That wasn't 90 minutes long.
Didn't you see in the fake Indiana Jones movie?
What else I saw to see?
Shut down.
I watched Harry Brown.
Yeah, I saw
that new film with Michael Caine, where he thinks he's Clint Eastwood. The movie's okay.
Gave that movie like a 6.
The movie's okay. It's good. It's a good revenge film, and it doesn't stretch believability when it comes to putting an 80-year-old.
You don't like Kane
giving
you?
Revenge. I like Kane.
Is that it?
I love Kane.
You
but,
don't like British movies.
But it's kind of hard not to laugh at the movie when you see an 80-year-old like running after a 20-year-old, a 20-year-old dude, and he's like breathing hard and going like, I can't go any further, and fall over. You're like, don't you have a walker, you know? it's kind of easy to make fun of and whatever. And I kind of hate how they give Emily Mortimer what such a small role in the film. Like,
she,
I like her
small
so much.
Roles in a lot of things. She got a small role in the City Island movie that was on.
So
I like her. She's pretty.
I also watched I Love You to Death. I Love You to Death. It's a film from made in 1990, starring Kevin Klein, River Phoenix, River Phoenix, Keanu Reeves.
Oh shit!
And William Hurt.
There's no way this is good.
It's one of those.
What?
Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves did some.
What year?
No,
what year?
He did some good stuff in that time.
Where?
Keanu
soon
Reeves
tell
is
you.
A small role.
I soon tell you exactly what it is. That's so awesome that I saw. It is. Fuck! What's the name of it? It's one of the movies that we watched for one of our
Speed
My Own Private Idaho. My Own Private Idaho. Thank you very much. I love that movie.
I know, because I've been meaning to watch that one in a long while.
So fucking
yeah.
good.
Keanu Reeves is a star.
Essentially,
no.
Yeah. It's him
you
sharing.
Can't Douglas.
Actually, no. He is a star. It's really River Phoenix
you know,
is the supporting
at
character.
At this point,
yeah,
you
Keanu
can't
Reeves
stop.
Is a
I never
star.
Watched that movie.
I Love You to Death. It's one of those post-80s, 90s films, which
I
trying to be an 80s.
I knew what to say. A post-80s, 90s film. Really?
Okay, so...
as opposed...
sign me up.
As opposed to the post-80s, 70s movies.
Is it a One Crazy Night film? If it's even
it,
a little
it
bit
has,
of...
It has a,
oh,
that,
I'm watching it.
It has a bit of that. But
I Love You to Death?
It.
That's the name of
I
it?
Love,
okay.
Yeah. Alright, my
it's
movie.
It's about Kevin Klein, who is an Italian-American.
Is his name Vito?
Does he talk about pinch of pesos?
He owns a pizzeria.
Of course.
And he cheats on his wife constantly.
Again, of course.
With a pinch of pesos.
With all these women, and his wife finds out about it. And his wife decides that she can't live without him. So, he can't have anyone else, so she's going to kill
wait,
him.
Wait, stop. Is the wife Tracy Ullman?
Yes.
I've seen this movie before.
I saw it on TV the other day and I really enjoyed it. So they go to hire people to kill them after coming up with all these plans.
I didn't realize that was
track.
Keanu Reeves.
Yes, it's Keanu Reeves as a cocaine to try and kill him.
And he like
and
gets
River...
romantically involved with Tracy Ullman, right? Doesn't he?
No, that's River Phoenix. Who you're thinking
oh,
of.
Oh, okay.
Phoenix loves off Tracy Ullman.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't think I watched the whole thing, so, like, it's a little bit sketchy in my head.
They find out that he's really hard to kill. Like, they try to wire a car to blow up and it won't happen. They shoot him, he doesn't die. They do us, he won't die. It's one of those movies which are just so silly that you kind of have to love it. It's a fun movie. And to end the week, I decided to finally watch one of the action movie greats that I have excluded from my have-watched list. And it's John Woo's Hard Boiled.
Did you just say Hard Boiled?
Yes. I've never seen Hard Boiled up until the other day. Starring Chow Yun-Fat.
I need to make a call. I'm revoking your membership. No, this is ridiculous.
What?
No, seriously, how did that happen?
I don't know.
They used to play that on TV like every day.
And I have to say it's a pretty
have
average...
Have you seen Killers?
Killers,
not,
yes,
no,
I've
no,
seen
no,
Killers.
No, not the shitty Killers.
No, yes,
John
I
Woo's
have,
Killers.
Yes, I've seen John Woo's Killers.
Okay.
As well as Replacement Killers.
Nah.
Well,
at least you've seen good movies.
But I had never seen Hard Boiled. And I have to say, it's a pretty average cop...
Inspector Kittina!
...cop movie, but...
Tequila.
It's totally worth it for the last half hour of the hospital.
Tequila, that's all. Tequila time. That's all I have to say to you. Oh, it's so good.
The entire of that half an hour in the hospital where it's basically a video game.
You mean the movie? Do you remember? I don't remember anything before that. Do you remember anything before that, Douglas?
Of course not.
Well, he's staring at his phone.
You haven't seen the movie, have you? Douglas.
Douglas.
What? I'm talking on Twitter. Hang on.
I cannot believe you fuckers.
I'm talking on Twitter. I need to, you know.
So what? Hard-boiled. Oh. Have you seen Hard-boiled, Douglas?
I'm talking on Twitter.
So you're busy watching shitty foreign films. Like Micmac.
Fuck you, Micmac is awesome.
I said, you know what? Legendary movies like John Woo was Hard Boy. You went, no, I've better movies to watch.
I don't know, something reminded me of it, and I went and I looked up the poster, and you see there's this poster of him where he's holding a baby and a gun, and I was like, how could I have not seen this movie? I have to watch it now.
I don't understand either.
We haven't spoken about trailers for a long while. 127 Hours trailer for that came up. The teaser trailer came up for that recently.
Love it!
Max,
hey! You're lost? I'm a guide? What do you say?
So the guidebook says that the route's through here, but I know a better way. All you have to remember is that everything will be okay.
Ah! Oh my God, Aaron!
Oh! See ya!
You liked him. I don't think we figured in his day at all.
Damon, what do you think of that new Danny Boyle film starring James Franco?
Mm-hmm. I love James Franco. He's very good.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of the Spider-Man movies.
He's really turned himself around recently.
With the exception of the Spider-Man movies. I'm a big fan of
Even Flyboys?
Franco. I haven't seen that.
Which one is that?
I have no intention.
It's the one where they're talking about the French flying squad in the World War.
It's a plane movie. In the World War. Why would you? The trailer looks good. He looks very charismatic. And I love how they... Like, the second they get to... let's call it the conflict in the movie. The trailer ends. So it's just him... being awesome, really white. Like, I mean, why would climbing rocks and going into caves?
I hate it when people say that.
How many black people you know? You tell me one National Geographic program that show me black people doing any of that, right? And I will say, all right, maybe it's not a white thing, but until you show me evidence, you are wrong. People who live there don't go there. That is, the natives don't go there. There's a white man that walked the length of the Amazon. His guide that he started out with left. And he lived there. So I don't want to hear it. Right? Don't be hurt because you're white. You're Jamaican. You are an exception. You get a free pass. You have to be white. Whatever. But I don't know what it is about white people. Right. Where do you why?
I'd just like to say that Andrew's laughing so hard he had to take off his glasses.
Here, man.
He's now wiping his eyes. He is crying.
Right.
I think I should maybe lend a helpful hand.
There's a reason that some stereotypes come from somewhere, Andrew. Right? The black people of fried chicken thing. Really racist, sad to say, kind of true. I've met one black person in my entire life that didn't like chicken. One. I've met millions. Right? So, stop. Alright, so it was being aggressively white. Him and some other girls, and they were having a fun time, then he did something stupid, and the trailer ended. The trailer.
And then he got trapped behind the rock.
Right.
Which he is apparently done for like 5 days or something like that. 127 hours.
Right. And he had to do...
Hold on.
Yeah, let me... A spoiler for real life. Somehow he escapes.
Wow.
And that's how they have, now we have the story.
Eats, though. That would be awesome.
I actually think this is a really odd trailer because
I think a bear ate him. That's how they got the story of this movie from the bear that ate him.
Yeah.
Is there really
the Nazis lose.
By the way, I just have a question to ask. How did Danny Boyle find a role for, is his name Dev Patel? The guy from...
Yeah, that's the guy from Slumdog.
Yeah. How did he find a role for him?
He's probably in that movie?
Right, he's probably just going to be someone at a truck stop.
He's in the trailer, apparently.
You're complaining about the damn resume bits.
The first half of the trailer is... it doesn't even say that it's like... from the guy that made these movies.
Actually,
it just starts off with these images. Shut up. I didn't see it. Fuck you.
it starts off, has taken you to place, boom.
Oh, that doesn't count. Rubbish.
I'm sorry, what?
Of course it counts.
Goddamn metaphors.
Guys, sell the movie on its own merits.
Exactly. You know, right? You see all of these things from
the Inception
like,
trailer didn't start out with from the dude that gave you Dark Knight.
How much money did Mother make?
$3.
Sell the movie at its own merits. Good.
So what does it to do with a movie like Mother? From the guy who gave you... Oh, wait. You don't know his other movie.
Right. From the guys who gave you that movie about the dogs. Some other foreign movie. Another foreign movie. Comes this one. Who are you selling that to? The three people that know who the guy is? In family? Stop.
Every trailer, I think we should just stop arguing about it anymore. Like, any trailer that is directed by or written by or starring someone who has done really famous movies, they're going to do it. And they do it in everyone. So why complain?
Whatever, dude. Me and Damien don't argue about this because we are on the same side.
So, this new Harry Potter movie. They just say, from the guy that gave you the last Harry Potter movie, comes these two other Harry Potter movies. Really? That's what they do?
Alright, you found an exception. Alright,
cop out. We can't even use bad movies. Cop out. Then they go, from the dude that gave you those two movies, you know, about a shop, right? And Jay and Silent Bob, comes this other movie.
But none of his movies made money.
All of his movies made money.
No,
all profitable.
Yeah, they did.
Those
they
movies cost made $3 to make.
No.
And they made millions.
He has always made the 30 mark. He's always made the 30 million mark. He's always been...
Right.
He's made
but
it
if,
very clear.
If the cost
yeah, but that's
of the
profitable
movie is $3.
Not,
so,
yeah.
For Clerks, it was a profit. For the rest of them, it wasn't as much as you think it is.
Do you understand what profit means? It means making back the money that you spent.
Yes, but when your movie makes 30 million, it's different as opposed to being Avatar, which made $1 billion.
Alright.
And that is what... Like, Slumdog...
How many people do you think make $1 billion from one movie?
There's like six movies in that.
Six? No, there are three. Two of which were directed by James Cameron.
I was thinking David Lynch movie.
No, they're series. I was thinking about series.
Like, either it won 8 Oscars that year or it made $1 billion.
Right.
And that's why it ended up in the resume. Isn't that what usually happens?
Sure.
Okay.
Scott Pilgrim. Oh, the dude that gave you Hot Fuzz. And I never see any of that on any of the trailers. Everyone knows Hot Fuzz. I didn't see any of that on the trailer. I don't understand. You think for the next Dark Knight movie they're going to do from the dude that did Inception?
I think that'd be funny if they did that. From the dude that did The Dark Knight.
No, they should go. From the director that gave you Memento.
Anyways, Douglas.
The Following.
Were you talking about this trailer at all before we went crazy? You said
yes,
something about hating the resume.
Well, I don't know. I don't like the resume thing.
No,
but the trailer after, once you get beyond
the
resume,
the trailer starts?
Right, once it starts, you kind of get into the story and you're like, yeah man, this is cool. And I actually kind of giggle because, of course, if I say anything about what happens, people are going to get upset. But it's history. It actually
spoilers.
Occurred. Exactly. There's no such thing as spoilers
history.
For this. Exactly. So
especially now, there's Google, guys.
Exactly. I mean, seriously. But so I like the way that this trailer leads up to, like you call it, the conflict, or I like to call it the wrinkle in the story.
I call it the conflict.
All right.
Team versus the stone. Man versus
but
stone.
There was one thing that I didn't like.
Two
about men
hit up. Tortilla.
The fight of the century. 127 hour battle.
This one's going for the long haul.
Starring Jean-Claude Van Damme.
It's going 127 rounds. Man versus stone.
Yeah, what are you saying, Douglas?
Yeah, so I like the way the trailer leads up, and I like the fact that the trailer kind of stops right when you've kind of gotten the gist of exactly what's going to happen, or the basis of the story.
He's super white, and his wife has led him to this position.
You know, he's caught in this rock, and he's going to have to deal with it. But what I didn't like... I didn't like in the end, like, once it reached that point, it felt like it was kind of like, okay, we're done. Like it stopped.
You.
It stopped really quickly. Like
right.
I wish that it didn't even need more video. What it needed was a little bit more time to write the words that were written after the video came about, so that I had a chance to say, oh, you know, the name of this is whatever. Here is the stats.
They're selling.
But it was just like
Slumdog Millionaire.
You know what the hell?
Did you like Slumdog? Come watch this.
Were you one of those people? This was a really odd trailer, because we actually had a discussion recently about trailers and trailers that spoil movies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is not one of them.
Right.
It gives you the setup and nothing more. It doesn't tease you. I mean, it is a teaser though, so we might get a full trailer which will do the proper spoilage that trailers always do. And I found it kind of odd to see this trailer and be like, they gave me act one, and it was really weird that they just stopped there, like Douglas said. Like, and the funny part is that I've read about this story, I know what it is, right?
Yes. You know history.
I wouldn't really call this history as such.
Sorry, you wouldn't? You wouldn't call what happened in the past as history? I'm sorry. Okay.
I don't know. When I think of history,
it's
I think
history.
Of World War
II. It's not history.
It's not history. Just stop it.
Alright, fine.
It's like
it's
how there's post-80s, 90s movies. It's not history. Stop.
Wow, I feel special now.
Just can't wait for that first post-80s, 70s movie. Right, so you don't like it because it didn't ruin the movie for you?
No, it just felt really odd. Like, you get this vibe of this spirited individual going through the Rocky Mountains of God knows where.
Spirited. I like that.
And then just
refusing to call him white.
I refuse. And then something wrong happens, and then we're like, boom, come and watch the rest. And I'm like,
isn't that what it's supposed to do?
I get that, but I'm like,
what more did you want? You wanted to see him bite the rock? I don't understand.
I think you would do that.
No, because I've never been in that position.
Alright, forget the never part. You're in that position magically. Something has occurred.
Sure.
Someone threw a rock on you and you're stuck on it and everyone's just laughing. No one's going to help
right,
you.
Right.
Would you buy the rock?
And I don't have a phone.
And you don't have a phone.
No, if I thought I was going to die, I'd hit my head against the rock as hard as possible to knock
it's
myself
been
out.
3 days.
So, right, so I'd hit my head against the rock as hard as possible in order to kill myself. Or at least knock me out till I die. I don't want to experience another. But it would never happen. Never ever happen.
So you wouldn't do what that guy did?
I doubt that would have come anywhere in my mind. But in this weird hypothetical situation? No. Still don't think so. I'd have a phone and I'd call for help. But then I'd be here in civilization. That is a viable option.
Without the trailer, I want to watch this movie. It's Danny Boyle.
Yeah, but with the trailer,
James Franco.
It's not spoiling enough of the movie for you.
It's not spoiling enough. I'm pretty, like, I would understand if someone who hadn't heard of this before and saw this trailer went like, I'm not sure. I would understand that.
Sure.
They'd
say Slumdog Millionaire and go, I like that movie. Is this like that movie? No.
Anyways,
Dogma made a profit.
It costs no money.
Production budget for Dogma, $10 million. Domestic gross, 30.6. That's 300%. I want to just emphasize that number, 300%. You know what the gross margin? That's revenue.
Right.
But that's gross. You know what gross margin on like regular businesses are?
A dollar.
No, percentage wise.
1%.
Oh no! You're being really crazy. But 10%.
Right.
Maybe if you are like the king of the kings, not even Apple. If you are wonderful, you get 15.
Right.
So, these guys just made 300% on this movie.
So here,
gross.
People who go into business, they do it for one reason: to make money. And the usual bar for how much money they make is, if I were not to spend this money in this stupid business and invest it in a bank,
yeah,
we were in the
would I make right? Would I make more money?
I don't know.
He just made somebody
three times,
and that's why he got to make exactly.
And that, by the way, one extra little tidbit, that was the domestic gross. We do feature international, yes.
So he makes up.
From acclaimed director Krzysztof Kieslowski comes a story of romance and mystery. Jay Carr of the Boston Globe calls it mesmerizing, elegant, and haunting. Erin Jacob's sexy, soulful performance is brilliant. Jim Hoberman of the Village Voice says it's a tour de force of incandescent images. Exceptional filmmaking. Vincent Canby of the New York Times says it's Kieslowski's most beautiful work to date. Veronique bewitches the eye. Introducing Erin Jacob, winner Best Actress, Cannes 1991. The Double Life of Veronique.
Anyways, moving on.
Sure.
This week Douglas asked us to watch The Double Lives of Veronique or something like that.
Yeah, The Double Life of Veronique.
This is going to be a first for me because we've gone 60... This is episode 63 at this point and I have never come unprepared for a review. I have not watched this movie. So
far review, right?
this is up to you guys. Douglas, take it away.
Okay,
seen
so
in podcast again.
Yeah. So The Double Life of Veronique is okay.
So let's make this interesting. What do you think this movie is about? Just guess.
Yeah. All right, going off the title because I haven't watched the trailer. I haven't read anything,
which is great.
Right?
Although the trailer wouldn't help.
It would not.
I am going to guess that it's about a woman, Veronique or Veronica, depending on your language.
100%.
She has two lives. Like, she is a homemaker in one, and she is a raving lunatic in the other, and has
Fair
three
enough.
Husbands and five children.
Well, I mean, three husbands would be more than
more than two lives.
Let's
yeah.
just stick with the math. So
and,
she has one, she has
and
two husbands.
Somehow, by the third act, these two lives collide.
Okay.
That makes sense.
And she has to deal with the problem of people finding out about the other life.
Right, so kind of like the chicken up in the air.
Something like that.
Right.
Okay, so I watched this movie, and in order to tell you what this movie is about, I had to read the synopsis. So, so this movie is about two ladies from two separate countries called Veronica. One in France, I think, in a French-speaking country. One was Veronique and one was Veronica, spelled with a W, because Eastern Europeans pronounce W as a V. So one person in, I think it's Poland, is called Veronica, and one person in France, I think, is called Veronique. And somehow they are connected. There is a connection between the two of them, and one of them is... Well, I'm not sure quite what she is at the beginning of the movie. She's kind of like just this girl who is in music. She this is a French one now.
She's in a choir.
She is like a piano. She does piano lessons and she's into music, but not like ridiculous. I mean, she has some talent because her piano teacher thinks the world of her. But she clearly has not gone that extra step. On the other hand, Veronica in Poland... is, I wouldn't say completely untrained, but seems that way. But she gets discovered by this choir. I don't know what that person is because she's not the conductor, but I guess she runs the choir or something like that. And so Veronica from Poland gets into the choir and becomes this big, well, I don't want to call it sensation, but she is... people think that she's really good because she is, and actually that one song that she sings that it gets played throughout the soundtrack, I actually really love it. But she dies in her first performance, and so somehow there is a link between Veronique and Veronica, and when Veronica dies, Veronique feels it. And this movie is supposed to be about how Veronique deals with life after Veronica. And to tell you the truth, if I did not read the synopsis, I would not really fully understand that. Because this movie, at least to me, and considering the situation that I watched it in, because I guess there were a couple of scenes that I didn't quite... I wasn't fully focused on, but like, I didn't see the connection. The connection just was not there in my mind between the two Veronicas. In the beginning of the movie, you see that they kind of meet for a nanosecond, but meet is a very loose use of that word because Veronique is in Poland, or no, it wasn't Poland, it was... I remember the name of the city. It was a European city, clearly on a vacation of some sort. Yeah, and there was some sort of, maybe it was a riot, maybe it was just a peaceful demonstration, whatever it was, but it was getting broken up by the police, and she was being, Veronique now from France, was being ushered quickly into like a tour bus, and she was taking pictures while she was doing it, and she took a picture of Veronica. And that actually plays closer to the end of the movie. But yeah, essentially, ever since Veronica died, Veronica's gotten very sad and melancholy. She quit her piano lessons, she quit everything, she left her dad, who she was living with, and she goes to teach at some school. And she kind of gets infatuated with this puppeteer, and then she realizes that she misses Veronica. That's about all the movie is, and I don't understand why people love it so much. I got my first, real clue as to the fact that this may or may not be a good movie was that, well, this was recommended to me, but, when I saw the first 5 minutes or 5 seconds and I realized that this was on the Criterion Collection, I realized that either I was going to love this film or I just was not going to get it at all. And this movie ended up being in the latter of the two categories. Like I said, I didn't see the connection. Most of this film felt to me just like rambling and just things that were happening, and I just couldn't understand why they were happening, or not necessarily why, but why I was being forced to watch them happen. It just didn't make any sense in terms of how the film started, and there was no reason for, you know, in every movie there's always a reason for every shot. You get information, you're given information that maybe will allow you to figure out what's going on, but at least it is relevant and its relevance is shown sometime later. And a really good example of that, of something that actually hides its relevance until very long into the movie, was the movie that you made us watch, Mother. That first scene, when I saw it, I was like, alright, really? Sure. Damien, what the hell is this? What am I watching? But then at the last scene, you realize, okay, I understand what that means. You know, that never happened. There was never that click. There was never that moment of understanding. It was just kind of like, okay, these things are happening and I'm alright with that. For like the first half an hour, I was kind of like, alright, these things are happening, but I don't quite get what's going on, but you know what? This guy, this director person, gonna help me out here in like a couple minutes or something. And I kept hoping for that, but it never came to fruition. It never occurred. It never happened. And the only thing I can tell you, the only interesting bit about this movie, well, two. First was the song, and I really like that song. The song is awesome. The second was that there is a point. There are two points in this film that I think are probably pivotal to the story, but of course, as I say, I don't really get it. The first point was when Veronica actually dies, and the second point was when Veronica realizes, or I think she realizes, that that is why she is in the state emotionally that she has been in for the past however long this movie spans. And I thought it was interesting that both of those times she realizes, she makes this huge realization while she's having sex. And that's the only thing that...
Well, she didn't. Veronica didn't die while having sex. She died while...
No, not Veronica. Veronique, the French one. Yeah. The one that survived.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So her realizations all both came when she was having sex.
Which is when all real...
Exactly. I mean, seriously. When you've got all that blood flowing to the nether regions and not much going to the brain, right, it frees up. It frees up the cells to do what they really meant to do.
At this point, when I have nothing to say, I'm realizing I have no more beer to drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. Anyway, you can keep looking at your... I saw Fergie over there. And you can talk... You can...
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this movie, I don't want to say it's a bad movie, because...
I don't worry, I'll say it for you.
Generally, Criterion, you guys do a good job, and
Armageddon.
Armageddon is fucking awesome. I love
it.
It's
on Criterion.
You're damn right.
Yes, I know that, but that movie's awesome.
But no,
I love the movie, but it is far from awesome.
I mean, the cinematography is great, the acting is great, but like, it just... I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know why the things that are happening are shown to me. And I'd love it if somebody could explain. And that's about it.
You guys just don't get it. I'm going to be the complete opposite of what Douglas said and some other lie and nonsense that is never going to happen. This movie is bad. And it's bad because movies are supposed to be coherent. And if they aren't, they are not coherent deliberately. This movie is incoherent by accident, and that is clear when the movie ends. Because they try to make some sense at the end of the movie, but all that does is alienate people who actually have any inkling of sense. At the start of the movie, when they pass each other, my hope was that one of them wasn't real, right? In order to tie this whole double life thing together. Then when one dies and the other one wakes up, I started to become wary. I knew something wasn't aligning. Because up until that point, my theory could have made sense. Once that happened, all other movie tropes that I knew couldn't tie this movie back together. There was clearly a division somewhere. Because once one dies and the other wakes up from having sex, you realize that, yes, they are indeed two people. But they clearly aren't twins. So that's one more trope gone.
Yeah, actually for a while I was like, don't tell me these are twins that were separated at birth.
Right. They're not twins. They're not twins.
So that's, for some reason I just thought of Jackie Chan's twin dragon.
Right. So they're not twins. That's one thing thrown out. There's no mad scientist. There's nothing tying these two people together. Based on real life logic, or more importantly, movie logic. Nothing is tying these two together. So for the rest of the movie, which meanders and goes nowhere, I was just forced to sit down and watch some surly girl be miserable. Which isn't fun, and it is not interesting. Nothing she does.
But not only miserable, but after a while she gets obsessed. She becomes a stalker. Right.
Of some puppeteer guy. Like, she's trying to find some way to make herself whole again. Which is fine if she was doing anything interesting at all. But she isn't. And so, the only reason I was watching this movie was to see how they're going to tie all this hour and a half of boring nonsense together. I wanted some new movie thing that was able to do this. Alright? That is, if they had given me that satisfaction, this movie would have jumped from where it is now, sitting firmly at 2 out of 10, to about 5. Even if it made no sense, it would have pushed it into, alright, people should see this. But no one should see this movie. Because the explanation comes from the unlikeliest source on the planet. And it also makes no sense. And when I say no sense, right? Sometimes I'm harsh and belittle movies because it's hilarious. This movie makes no sense. At all. Not even by movie logic standards. Right? Michael Bay standards, this doesn't... Like the Transformers thing when he fall from the coldness of space. Right? He flew in from the coldness of space. Then landed on Earth, a warmer climate, and froze to death. That makes more sense than what is in this movie. This movie makes zero. And it is so painful to know that they had all of this movie. Meander, it goes nowhere. It is dull. It is drab. Nothing happens to either of these girls. Right? With the exception of one dying. And in the end, it just felt like a slap in the face. Right? No. It's not Butcher Boy bad. Right? Because the movie isn't just garbage. It's not flat out garbage. Right? I can use the tropes. It was shot well lit.
Yeah.
Good music. All of that nonsense. Right? But the movie goes nowhere. And then in the end, it just, like, it feels like, this is one of the few movies I've seen that it felt like I've been robbed. Not like off my time, but just robbed off some experience. Like, but this movie could have at least had the decency, Andrew, to try. It feels like at the end he just went, yeah, no. You know what?
Damien, I'd like to blame you entirely for this. Because remember, I told you to
be... Yeah.
And you said no, Andrew.
Yeah, I was
gone for a while.
Right. Let Douglas speak. And Douglas pulled it out of the bag.
But right. Listen, but not only that.
And I had to read.
But like,
one of my
shut up.
Reading is hard. Alright.
I don't know about you, but when I watch this movie, and this is a very short movie, barely an hour and a half, it felt like it was 2 hours and a half, maybe 3 hours, easy.
Alright, full disclosure, I was playing Torchlight while watching this. I was still bored.
Wow.
And
so Damon says
Torchlight is awesome.
Fuck this shit like crazy. Douglas says
The movie didn't have to be bad. Right? It could have been middling. It didn't have to do what it did. But that ending, Andrew, has to be by far one of the worst endings to a movie I've ever seen.
Hear, hear.
Sweet mercy.
Yes.
I don't know how this land. I think the Criterion people are just fucking with people. They're like, people buy anything we put out. Won't they?
We made our name with our first few DVDs.
Like,
let's screw them over now, right?
If we do this, won't they stop? Like, let's test that. If they stop, we'll just start putting back our good movies forever. Right? If no one complains, then we know that we have a loyal fan base. And they're willing to bat for us. They lie for us. They'll do anything for us. But we need to test it. This movie.
So this movie sounds like a tad bit of an odd film.
And it's not that it's odd, Nico, Andrew. It's just...
Andrew.
It just...
And, like, if it was... Like... If it was a typical Douglas movie, right? I would have understood. Like something foreign and crazy, I would have been fine. But there's nothing crazy about the movie. The movie plays everything straight. There's nothing but the the plot is essentially non-existent because nothing happens. And I thought they were going to try to explain this double life thing. And Andrew, if it was your movie, the movie that you thought it was going to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would have been cliche and 9,000 times better than this movie. Because there would have been something happening. There would have been something carrying you through the movie. But there's no... The only thing that carried me through this movie, one thing, right? Hope. I had to hope. Now I know how jihadists feel when they're blowing up themselves. Right? The hope of something better. Literally, I didn't turn away from this movie for a second. Right?
So you know how I felt with David Bowie?
Sweet. No, again, right? Even though that movie is bad, Andrew, right? There's things happening. Right? There's reasons for the movie being bad. You go, what is right? There's confusion. There's something that is taking you through the movie. There's nothing. Andrew would be like, let me explain it to you better. Say I got a camera, right? And I followed Douglas for a week, and then I followed you for a week. Now at the start of the movie, I had you two pass each other, right? Even if you know Douglas, which doesn't change anything with the move, you know Douglas, Douglas knows you. I have you pass each other at the start, and then I follow you both independently. And then at the end of the movie, I try and tie what Douglas did and what you did together and came up with the worst explanation imaginable. You cannot begin to understand how stupid the explanation is. Alright? And then went, this is my movie. And then people went, oh, this is... You need to watch a trailer. The amount of accolades that this movie's had, it is people love, or they claim that they love this movie. There's a quote that says, director's best in this trailer. And because of that quote, I will never... never! I won't watch anything by his family, relatives, close friends, anything. This movie is terrible. I don't even blame Douglas though. This is the only movie that I've watched and hated that I don't blame the person that picked the movie. Right? Because there's no way Douglas could have known. Unless Douglas had seen this movie before.
Yeah. Here's the funny bit. Like, just because you said director's best, I went down and I looked up who this guy is because I don't know. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that name. But he's the guy who directed the Color Trilogy. The Three Colors Trilogy, Blue, Red, Blue,
White,
and
Red. People love that.
Which people love. And
thank you.
They call that movie his best.
Thank you.
Like, I've heard so many raving reviews of the Colors Trilogy. Raving reviews.
Just talk to the man on the street. The movie, the radio voice, you know.
Anyways, let's just wrap this up.
These reviews crazy.
Mercy.
Because you guys sound like you've had it out. You've had your fun.
Fun is what was severely left. She was naked, what, three times in the movie?
Three.
There was two sex scenes,
there's
and when she was, she wanted to help the old lady with her bags.
The old lady? Wait, when was this?
It was when she went to the window.
Yeah. Well, she was really naked there. She was in underwear.
Right.
Yeah.
I had to find something to get me through that.
Anyways, I think we can wrap this up because we're not going to do the discussion we planned and I have no idea what to talk about. And it's coming close to 11 anyways.
And talk about Gran Turismo 5?
No.
And why I'll be missing in 2 months' time.
This is Andrew.
Damian.
Your soccer jersey. I knew it. The truth comes out. Busy impersonating me.
You can find me on the internet at gmanreviews.com as well as thefilmstage.com. You can find me on Twitter at gmanreviews. You can email me andrew.robinson@gmanreviews.com.
I'll start a Facebook page and Twitter page when GT comes out. It's just going to be pictures of cars and car on the Facebook page, and on Twitter it's just going to be the cars that I've recently collected. And there's thousands of them, so that's months.
You said
months
Damian White's Top Gear.
No, it's just going to be the name of the new car. That's it. There will be nothing else behind it.
No, I'm wondering about the account name.
No, it's just going to be me. I don't understand coming up with clever names on social. The people who you're going to talk to know it's you.
Douglas.
So this is Douglas, not Damian.
That's what you should call yourself, not Damian.
Yes, I am not Damian. You can find me on Twitter at DJRLostHisName.
Is there twitter.com/ScottPilgrim?
Probably. you can email me at douglas@gmanreviews.com. Every once in a while you can see something that I've written on gmanreviews.com or mashedbits.com. And
this is actually Scott Pilgrim.
And if you want, you should send something to Scott Pilgrim at Twitter. For some reason Damian is now, you know,
taking a liking
to Scott Pilgrim.
I saw the book. And I remember that the movie's never coming out in Jamaica.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Speaking of Edgar Wright, if you want to send me a screener, just email me. I send my address already. It's douglas@gmanreviews.com. Just send me an email. I'll send you one back with the address that you can send it to, okay?
Anyways, thanks for listening. Good night.
Again, you need a better radio voice.